La 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 la.
If you want to hear your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. They talk megabytes to petabytes and cover it all. They're the Gizmo Sapiens. They're the Gizmo Sapiens.
Welcome, Gizmo Sapiens Show 101. Paul and I are actually recording this over Skype today, so it's a little bit interesting, and we're trying to use some new technology that we haven't used in the past. Mainly the new application Audio Hijack, which used to be Audio Hijack Pro, which is kind of interesting, but I don't know that I'm in love with it like I used to like Audio Hijack Pro. So, Paul and I are going to talk to you about Apple's Spring Fling event yesterday. So, did you get a chance to review it, Paul?
Yeah, I did. I actually got to watch just a little bit of the show in between some meetings I had yesterday, which is cool. So, I saw the announcement of the MacBook.
Yeah.
I didn't see that part. I didn't see the watch part, but I saw the MacBook part. That was more interesting to me.
Yeah, I was in the in a customer conferences all day yesterday, so I didn't see any of it other than what I was watching on my phone come through. And actually, to me, the MacBook part was probably the more exciting part as well. I mean, Adam, he lit me up on Facebook saying, you know, how many of the $10,000 iWatches was I going to buy? And I told him two. One is my daily driver, and one is my weekend.
Yeah,
but the reality of it is, I won't discount the fact that I will probably get an iWatch. It'll probably be the sports model.
That's what I think too. I'll probably get the sport.
Yeah. So, but even though I'm totally in love with 13-inch MacBook Pro, which they also updated both it and the MacBook Airs yesterday with new processors and everything. I'm enamored with the new 12-inch MacBook. They used to make a 12-inch MacBook Pro, and it was absolutely one of the favorite. It wasn't a MacBook Pro; it was a 12-inch PowerBook, and it was absolutely one of my favorite computers I ever had. And
really?
It was. I mean, I think that 12 to 13-inch is probably the sweet spot. 11 is a little too small, but with the Retina display and the 12-inch MacBook, you're getting great screen resolution for that small space, and it's light. It's lighter than an iPad.
it's that thing is so thin too. I told my wife she carries one of those big bags around. I'm like, you get this thing, you're going to have to hunt for it in your bag through the papers, this thing is.
And I mean, really I'm bad. A road warrior. You're a road warrior. I tend to carry more than stuff than I need, but I'm not above, since I use multiple machines for my daily work, that would make a perfect like second machine to have to slide in. I take notes, on Microsoft OneNote constantly, particularly in customer meetings. That would be great. Because I would have to carry as big a bag. you don't need as many dongles. I mean, everybody talks about you needing, you got to have this $80 dongle for the new USB-C display port, power port thing. And I sit there and I look at it and I go, yeah, but that's really no different. I carry a VGA dongle and I carry a Gigabit Ethernet dongle, and it's not just from my MacBook Pro. I have a set of dongles that I use for my Surface Pro 3 too.
I thought about that, and I'd actually rather have that type of a setup than to have five things, four things plugged into a laptop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'd rather unplug one thing out of the laptop and be able to go with it, you know?
Yep.
Like, a lot of times when my laptop's docked and I want to pop it, you know, and I've got four or five things plugged into it, I'd rather unplug a dongle. It'd be a lot quicker and easier anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not well, I like touchscreen Windows 10 tablets. I'm not enamored with them. You know, the, mm-hmm. the multi-touch touchpads and the new – now that the touchpads have like this pressure capability so you can do even more stuff with them. Mm-hmm. I don't – you know, I just don't see that being a deal breaker for anybody. You know, and I guess right now that's the big thing is, you know, Apple's putting the multi-touch in the touchpad so that you can deal with, you know, doing all those touch capabilities on a surface that isn't your screen, that's not going to get fingerprints and everything else.
Right.
And you know, both Microsoft and all the standard PC manufacturers are going with those touchscreens. And I mean, as nice as some of them are, and don't get me wrong, I really like my Surface Pro. None of those screens mm-hmm. are as good as the Retina displays that have been out.
True. That's true. I think it was neat how they actually focused their efforts on improving the touch of the keypads and the trackpad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So my big question is, and I still haven't looked at the stats yet, now that the thing is so thin and they shrunk the board down, right? It's like uh-huh. one of the smallest boards they've put together. Did they sacrifice performance? What's the performance stat on the thing?
So I haven't seen any benchmarks as of yet. They don't use the standard core i3, i5, i7s that you would find in – or like the i5 and i7 that you find in the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro. They use the yeah. Core M, which is a mobile processor that's really low power, very cool running.
More like an ARM processor, right?
Yeah, kind of, but it's still an x86 processor. I believe yeah. the performance is very, very good. They do run. I was looking at the tech specs, and they, you know, the base model one runs at 1.1. The 512 gigabyte model runs at 1.2, and then you can get a build to order at 1.3, but they do overclock to over, or they turbo boost over, you know, 2 gigahertz.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm looking at this machine, since I'm a road warrior, not to replace my MacBook Pro, but more to complement it. Kind of like people who, you know, who typically carry an iPad. I just need a keyboard and stuff too bad for a lot of the work I do.
Yeah.
And if I'm typing emails and I'm using OneNote and I'm doing research and I can get on the interweb, I don't know that's not enough machine for what I want to do. And I'm not even I don't know that I would buy anything more than the 256 gig model because it has plenty of RAM at 8 gig.
Yeah, I mean, what? You know, how much do you want to store on the thing anyway, right?
Well,
I mean, we've got lots of options for storage anyway.
But I'm not looking to record podcasts or do music projects
yeah.
or you know, edit lots and lots of video or anything. Like
you're looking for it to take care of you for two, three, four days while you're on the road.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Yeah. Which I agree, too, because my company issued me this big Dell brick, and it's like carrying around a box of floor tiles, it seems like, you know. It's too big. And then when I take the Surface with me, I like it because I'm like you. I love using OneNote in a meeting. But I just feel like I need a little bit more than that, you know, something
yeah,
a little more robust
yeah.
than
well,
that,
my
that Surface.
With the Surface Pro, and I've had both the Surface Pro, the original Surface Pro, and I have the 3. And one, I have a couple problems with it. One, Windows is still confused at what it's trying to be. I really believe Windows 8 and 8.1 make a great tablet operating system.
Yeah.
I don't believe they make mm-hmm. a good desktop operating system, even though they've tweaked them. And I'm not sure Windows 10 is much better. It's nice the way they did the Metro application interface. You know,
yeah.
if it's a desktop machine, it comes up and it looks like a start menu. But
right.
Do I really need to spend all that horsepower on live tiles and everything else? You know, so
yeah.
That's one thing I have a problem with. And because I'm definitely a person who uses a second screen. You know, that's why I always had a tablet. And that's what I use my Surface 3 Pro, even when I'm traveling. But the other thing is the keyboards have never been – they get better every generation because the type keyboard from the Surface Pro to the Surface Pro 3 is definitely much, much better on the Pro 3 than on the original. But it's not a great trackpad or keyboard for me to want to sit down and pop out documents and long emails and everything else. And I know I have colleagues who say, yeah, I love it because I you know, it's one machine and I have a tablet and I have – and yeah, there is that. But when I see them doing their work, they're sitting down, the keyboard is out, and they're sitting there typing in Outlook or typing in Word and I'm like,
yeah,
dude. Or even worse – they're in desktop mode using the Internet Explorer in desktop mode because it's different than the Internet Explorer in touch mode, you know?
Right. I'll be honest with you. I think the typing experience, and I only have the original. I have the Surface Pro 2. But it's not that comfortable to hold, you know?
Yeah.
An iPad. Really isn't. It's awkward to hold.
With those angled, beveled edges and stuff. You know, I tend to, it's good it has a kickstand on it because I tend to put it on the table and kick the kickstand out and use it that way.
I just don't use it as much as I did my iPad because I traded my iPad in and got that just to try it. And I just, you know, holding it's awkward and typing with it in your hands is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
It was not as comfortable. Doesn't feel as good as the iPad did. They really did a nice job. It just tells you how nice a job Apple did at designing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, this feels like ancient holding this thing, you know?
Yep.
It's like I'm holding a picture frame or something.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I'm enamored with the new 12-inch MacBook. That's probably going to be another piece of my arsenal that I'm going to add.
Yeah, when is that coming out? When's that going to be available?
April 10th, it'll be available in three colors, just like the iPhones. Yeah. I'm actually going to break down and get the gold color this time.
They announced prices on them?
Yeah, it's $12.99 for the 256 with 8 gig of RAM, 256 gigabyte SSD. And then it's $15.99 for the one with the 512 gig SSD.
$12.99 for 256 gig of RAM and
256
gig hard drive and how much RAM?
8 gig.
So what else can I get? What else can you get laptop wise from Apple for that price?
You can get an 11-inch MacBook Air.
You know, I'm wondering what's my options. What's your options at that price point?
Your options, you can get an 11-inch MacBook Air. You know, I think you can. There's still a 13-inch MacBook Air you could possibly get at that price range.
So if I'm going to drop $1,300 with Apple, is that what I want to get? You know?
Yeah.
There's still. Maybe it is. That's something I want to look at.
Yeah.
I still really want a bigger screen, like one of the bigger screen MacBook Pros.
You know,
I always wanted it.
I mean, I had a 15-inch Retina display MacBook Pro, and I really loved that machine. But, the 13-inch is just as powerful for what I do. Now, if I were...
And the portability
is
better.
Exactly. And the portability is better. If I were, going to use Final Cut Pro as my mainstay for my job every day, the 15-inch would be what I'd have. Mm-hmm. There's some processor options. So you can get the MacBook Air, the 11-inch, you can get an 8 with 128 gig SSD, but only 4 gig of memory is $899. The 256 model for the 11-inch with 4 gig of memory is $1,099. Mm-hmm. For $999, you can get a 4 gig 13-inch 128 MacBook Air, and then for $1,199, you can get a 256 with 4 gig of memory. Mm-hmm. So, you are paying a little bit of premium for the new one, and I'm checking the prices on that again as we speak. Yeah, so it starts at $12.99. But, you know, I honestly, but it's got a Retina display, which the MacBook Airs do not. You get double the RAM. The starting model is 256 gig SSD, which I think is kind of a minimum. And, you know, you're going with the technology that Apple is going to move forward and everything will transition to. So, you know, the combination of the USB 3C port / DisplayPort technology. Your pro models will always get Thunderbolt. I think that not enough people are really using Thunderbolt on the Airs, that Apple will probably mm-hmm. remove that as feature functionality and bring those prices down. You know, and there's one thing that what most people don't realize is that, you know, every port that you have on your laptop, it's a reason that laptop has to be thicker. So if you can right. remove as much of that and move it to something external, it's going to work, or you can make things much smaller. And I think a lot of people go, well, I want the options, but they never use the options. Like, how many people really use the SD card reader on their laptop?
Exactly.
You know, most people stick a USB flash drive in and they're done. That's going to be there.
Right. So, I've used an SD card reader since they came out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen articles where people say they want to have that. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
But I don't know, to each his own.
So, I mean, besides the watches, which I'm not going to really spend a lot of time, because I think the watch is going to be much more interesting to use than it is to talk about.
mm-hmm.
but I think one of the bigger things that they announced yesterday was Apple Pay is now accepted in 700,000 locations. And and I've been using Apple Pay. Dorothy Lane Market at home uses Apple Pay.
Yeah.
So does McDonald's. So I've used it at both of those places. I've noticed Panera Bread is now accepting Apple Pay, the one at Austin Landing.
Interesting.
So I'm assuming that Panera's worldwide are going to start getting Apple Pay.
Are you seeing signs at these places? Signs out.
Yeah, when you get on the door, it'll come up and it'll say Google Wallet or Apple Pay, or it'll just say Apple Pay.
Okay.
And at the checkout at Dorothy Lane, it's right by the reader. You know, there's a big sticker. So,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's some talk about fraud and everything with Apple Pay, but it's not because of Apple Pay. It's actually been the way that banks have lacked security in enrolling your cards to be able to be used for Apple Pay. So a lot of that's being tightened up as we talk. But I'll tell you, it's incredibly convenient. One of the things they don't tell you is that, you know, your Apple Pay and your phone actually will track your transactions, and you can go back to a log and look at where you spent the money, you know, mm-hmm. immediately, as opposed to having to log into a banking app and look, oh, you know, where have I been spending today?
Right.
I've been very impressed with it. And, you know, I think we're going to see it become ubiquitous because, you know, all the banks and the retail establishments must move to the new secure card technology. You know, the
mm-hmm.
with the little chip in the card. They call it pin and chip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to use a card. Like when we were in England over the summer, it was really hard using a credit card with no pin and chip in it. We were okay in London, but you got outside of London and it was like hit or miss.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because Europe's had it for a long time, and you know, so they haven't been having the same types of banking fraud, I would say. I think a lot of theirs is much more social engineering, where you're giving up information as opposed to
what do you mean? So you had to manually enter your card?
Well, no, because it doesn't have a chip on it. Some of their readers, some of the places couldn't read the card yet, so they'd have to manually enter the stuff in.
Okay.
And but what was difficult is a lot of places, they hadn't trained their employees to manually enter because nobody over there had the old style card. You know, the transition had already happened.
That's a little unnerving sometimes. I wondered if you can make a transaction or not.
And, you know, Marriott is going to start accepting Apple Pay as well.
Oh, that's good.
So they've got a list of 11 hotels that they're going to start that rollout this summer, and then it will just expand to their entire empire.
Is there a source to look at to find out who's offering what, you know, what offerings there are? Is there one source, or you just kind of got to look around?
Actually, Apple's website talks about who's partnered with them for Apple Pay.
Okay.
I cannot remember what. I think it's apple.com Apple Pay. And if my browser will tell me. We're kind of saturating the internet connection in my hotel, so. But nobody's up at this time. Sorry, the Skype connection cut out, so we'll have to catch up on a little more of that on our next podcast. But here at Gizmo Sapiens, we want to hear from you. So please, 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 please send us audio, video, or even text feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's GIZMOSAPIENS @gmail.com. Or at our blog at www.gizmosapiens.com and leave a post on the current episode that you want to talk about. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
You've been listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's GIZMOSAPIENS@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.